Blog Talk Radio.
Faces of Success Radio. Your girl, Miss Diamond.
Hey, yo, world.
You've now tuned in to Miss Diamond on Interviews with the Stars. Yo, you just tuned in to your girl, Miss Diamond. Hey, young world. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. Interviews with the Stars. You've now tuned in. Let's go. You've now tuned in to Miss Diamond on Interviews with the Stars. Yo, you just tuned in to your girl, Miss Diamond. Hey, young world. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. Interviews with the Stars. You've now tuned in. Let's go.
Hey, 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 everybody. What's up? Welcome back to another hot edition of Interviews with the Stars. Of course, I am your host, Ms. Diamond Hot Topics. And of course, I like to bring you the best Interviews with the Stars and the latest hot topics going on. Oh, my gosh. So, first of all, I want to just say thank you for tuning in each and every week right here on Interviews with the Stars. I definitely want to say I appreciate you guys. I appreciate the love and the support. You know, you guys sharing the post. You guys are posting the 2016 Old School Reward Show that we're having. So I want you guys to make sure that you're also logging into our website, FacesOfSuccessRadio.com, and you're checking out all of the other hot events that we have and all of the other hot interviews that we get to bring you each and every day, all right? So I don't want you to just tune in right now, you know, just for my show. I want you guys to spread the love, you know? I want you guys to make sure that you're fully equipped, getting the opportunity to hear some other hot shows, some other great music. And, of course, I bring you new music each and every week. And I want y'all to know that your girl, Janet Jackson, is on tour, okay? So we haven't seen her in a while, which is cool, but we're happy to definitely have her back on the scene. And it's like, man, Janet, we've been waiting for you for so, so long. I can't wait to see her in concert. And I know you guys want to have an opportunity to check her out in concert as well. Also, recently in the news, we lost Bobby Christina, and I just want to say that that was definitely a sad and hard situation for a lot of people to deal with. I mean, everybody loved Whitney Houston and, of course, loved Bobby Brown, and they even had a reality TV show. I wonder how many of you actually remember that TV show that they had, Being Bobby. Well, you know, we know that Whitney struggled, you know, throughout her career with whatever her issues was. And we never wanted to see that for her daughter or for their children as a whole. But I just want to say that in the passing of Bobby Christina, that my heart and my prayers go out to that family, because that is such a hard thing to deal with. Death is hard in itself. And I just want to say that I'm so sorry that that happened. And, you know, I want to send my thoughts and prayers, you know, out to her. I can't believe it. A lot of other people can't believe it as well. So, you know, thoughts and prayers out to her. In other hot news, hot topics, your boy Busta Rhymes. So let me talk to you about him. So Busta Rhymes allegedly threw a protein shake at his gym employee. So he was arrested on, you know, a few days ago after an altercation at the gym. Well, there were no injuries known, but he definitely had to go to jail for that. So, Busta Rhymes. First of all, Busta Rhymes is a big dude. He's, you know, he's cocky, you know, nice body and everything. Ooh, but whatever. So I'm sure he's already intimidating when he's working out. And I don't know what the actual logistics of the beef was or the argument was, but whatever it was, it got so heated that he decided, hey, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to throw this drink at him, you know. But I just feel like, can we all just get along? He was arrested and charged with assault, but he was also, you know, released after paying his bond and everything. So, you know, Busta, just chill, you know, just relax. But I'm going to be back with some more hot news and some more hot topics coming for you guys. Today, I have a double whammy for you. I have two interviews with the stars. So first up, I have Mr. Arnold Carmichael from the group Radio. I'll be bringing him in the studio real soon. And then later on next hour, I'll be bringing you the sexy Mr. Del B. Oh, you won't want to miss that one. So stay tuned right here on Interviews with the Stars. I am your girl, Miss Diamond Hot Topics. I'm going to jump into a hot song for y'all. It's called K. Michelle, Can't Love Them All. You know why? Because you can't, all right? So stay tuned right here on Interviews with the Stars.
Going man to man, always holding a new hand. Why can't they understand? Sex is irrelevant, just a game in my head I'm playing, and I'm winning.
Yes, and that was Jasmine Sullivan with Let It Burn. And you guys know that I love getting requests each and every week right here on faithofsuccessradio.com. And, of course, I love to get them on Facebook as well. So, of course, you can add me on Facebook. My name is Ms. Diamond Hot Topics, and I keep you updated each and every week on what's going on right here on the station, what's going on right here on the show. And I can't wait to bring you my very special guest into the studio. Arnell Carmichael will be joining us in just a second. So I'm going to play one more song for you guys. And after that song goes off, then we'll be back in the studio with more from Interviews with the Stars. Here we go with Tamar Braxton featuring Future with Let Me Know right here on FaithofSuccessRadio.com. Welcome back to this, my favorite segment of the show. And this part of the show is where I bring you the best interviews with the stars. And today I want to introduce to you to some, and
to the mother, you know, my very special guest today, Mr. Arnold Carmichael. Welcome to the studio.
Well, hello there. How you guys doing? How are you doing, Diamond?
I am awesome. Awesome. Thanks for asking, and thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure.
Yes, yes. So what I want to say, first of all, is your fans have flooded the station, flooded the website. I promise
you.
All day we've been getting people in the studio waiting for the interview to begin. And I'm like, it's not time.
That's really
not
funny.
Time yet.
I mean, first of all, I have been away so long that, you know, I don't know about others, but I almost like forgot about the music business, you know. I'm laughing because since I made this decision to start doing more, you know, it's just been quite a unique trip. So I'm having a lot of fun. Thank you for even, offering for the interview. It's really cool.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying, so what do we need to tell our fans?
We need to tell the fans, first of all, how you got started in the music business. I mean, coming from, you know, a city like Detroit, which is like the music capital, anyone would be influenced by the music. But how is
right.
it that you decided that would be the path that you would take in life?
Well, I mean, that's a very, very good question because for me, this started before I was born. My father, Mike Hanks, owned a company called D-Town Records. And he had other record companies too, Wheelsville and Moz Records. He had written so many songs, and of course my mother and father worked together, my biological father I'm speaking about. But what influenced me was my uncle Jerry Carmichael. My mother's brother decided that he wasn't going to let it rest, and he was going to introduce myself, my brother, and my sister, because my mother, she didn't want to have nothing to do with him. She was like, I'm through with that guy, you know. So my uncle took it upon himself to, you know, bring the attention to my biological father. And what he did one day, he brought a record, which this is a true story. It is, I couldn't make it up if I even tried. The record was called Detroit, Michigan. Melody goes like, talking about fine, fine girls, you got them. Detroit, Michigan, talking about Hitsville, USA, you got Detroit, Michigan. Now, we're going to fast forward very quickly to 2014, Kid Rock records that song. That just happened.
Right.
So as a 10-year-old kid, that's the first record that I ever had in my hand. And me, my brother, and my cousin, he sang with Tina Marie, and my brother also sang with Tina Marie in a group called QT Hush, which was her first band. We all got together as kids and called the Carmichael Movement. So Detroit had all of, at the time, in the late 60s, like 65, 66, 67, there were so many record companies and so many groups that you could actually go like 15 minutes in any direction to a dance hall or to a club or to a college campus, and there would be a band playing. It's not like it is now. There were bands everywhere. At that time, our closeness was to a lot of the members at my father's record company, and then there were our friends who were the Gordy family, because I grew up with them. And then you had the Holland Doge and Holland guys, which HDH Studio. So as young kids, we were all over everywhere, from the 20 grand. We encountered the Jackson 5 because we started around the same time. And all of this was happening, you know, as you grow from 10 to 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, It's so many groups in Detroit that were influences from Aretha Franklin, George Clinton, the Spinners, and I could name a lot of groups that people don't even know about. And when it came time to really leave, because my uncle, he wanted to make everybody an independent success, but it just wasn't in the cards. And so I decided to break off. I couldn't do it because we weren't making enough money. And that was the start of how we got into the business. It was a family thing for us.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, coming from somewhere where it's like you were born on fertile music ground.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
And the way that the music mm-hmm. industry has changed, you know, it's like it's still fertile music ground. You know, so how do you feel about how music has changed, you know, in the Detroit, the inner cities of the world today, from back when you first started music to now?
That's an interesting question because for me, I've always known more about the industry, especially when you have a catalog that you have to track down. So I'll start from maybe what I consider to be like the end of radio. When I say mm-hmm. radio, I mean Ray Parker Jr., when I decided, well, I'm done with this. And looking at the music business, this is what I felt. I felt that there was a lot of room to grow, but you have to have a lot of knowledge. And I didn't have as much of that knowledge that I wanted. And right now, this industry that we are in is almost at the same scratch point, starting over with all of the internet radio stations, like your station, with all the publicists, with all of the new promoters and managers, everybody trying to, let's say, find a young artist and allow that artist to grow. This is better than when I started, but it's at scratch. Because, say, for example, here we are talking on your show, and you have your following, and you grow an artist, you would be doing what Donnie Simpson did. Because it's the same thing, it's with a different audience, and you grow and grow. So the music business right now to me is at a scratch point where you can bring in new artists, new music. R&B is really not as has its attention that it should have. Take, for example, right. I've been following Tyrese and what he's been saying, and I knew this. I knew it when I walked away from radio, and that was like in 85, that it was going to be a big change. And because I remember one day when I was working on my solo album, and when it was time to, like, do the deal, the guy at the record company said, you know what, I can go get these younger guys. And I was, at the time, I'm like 26, 28, something like that. And the guy's saying, well, I can go get these young guys who do sampling, and they can make a record really quick. Okay, so then I realized that computers can do what, you know, a group of people cannot do fast enough. And he said, well, you want $500,000, and I can pay these kids like $100,000, and they're going to make me a record really quick. Okay,
wow.
So now
yes.
What that means, you know, so what that means now to this day is that here you have on one block 25 people that can make a record. But if that record
yes.
does not have the skill set, okay, the skill set of knowing what the music should do, knowing how it should be recorded, knowing how it should be mastered and finished, then complete for you to play it, doesn't matter how many people, because they'll be sitting outside your record, your radio station, or where you are in the lobby saying, play my record. So we're at scratch, and now everybody has to decide who they like. It's like when Berry Gordy
yeah.
did Motown, where he had the Marvin, the Vandellas, and Smokey Robinson in the early days, Dinah Ross, and many more. They were making these records, and even his first record, I think it was Bikini or something, Polka Dot Bikini, but point is those were new songs. And I'm sure that
mm-hmm.
you get a lot of new songs, and how you introduce them to the American public, whether it be black or white, it's still music that you have to introduce to a public. So when you ask me that question, it brings to mind that we are not in the same shape that we were in. We're at scratch, at zero, and we can find our new talent and bring them and rear them and raise them to become responsible artists, touring. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, but one of the biggest damages in the music business is how, let's say, the rap genre has portrayed such an attitude that when they go on concert, people are afraid to go to these buildings.
Right.
When we started, when we started going on tour, we opened for Bootsy, we opened for Rick James, we were for Frankie Beverly, and there was never any trouble. Everybody was there for, as we say, and I'll be honest with everybody, I'm like a hippie. I'm not like anything. I'm like peace, love, and the whole thing. So when we had these concerts and people gathered, everybody was dancing and having a great time. You know, so to me, it's at an even point. You get to start over. We get to start over. That, to me, that's really cool. You know,
awesome,
it wasn't like you go to a Beyonce, So as you can
Beyonce concert.
Yeah. You know, when you go to those concerts and they are holding up signs and all of these kind of things where people are talking about the Illuminati and all those things, those things should not come into play when you're trying to relieve tension or when you're trying to just feel happy about who you are and this particular song. Like, one of the greatest moments in my life, even though I was involved with Ray Parker, is I'll never forget, we were in Fayetteville, Alabama. We were opening for Frankie Beverly and Maze. And when they start playing Joy and Pain, and it had never been heard before, and we were like some of the first people to really hear it in like a 10,000-seater building, that's the most incredible song that you could possibly want to hear. The crowd, the people singing, you know, happiness. I mean, that's just awesome. It's really an awesome time back then. So I would really like to see more of that, of R&B, growing with some new artists that really can express themselves and just really show, you know, what their talent can express.
So we're going to give your fans an opportunity to hear some of your music. You know, we have different genres of music, and it's definitely different from, you know, when you first started doing music to music now. So I want to give them a little sample.
I am an extremist. Of what song?
We're going to go with Jack and Jill.
Okay, great.
We're going to give them an opportunity to hear what good music is. Yes, of course.
Thank you. This song that they're about to listen to was the very first song ever that I did correctly in a professional environment. It actually took me like 14 hours to sing that part, and the other guy, Jerry Knight, bless his soul, praise God for him, he's passed away. Also Larry Talbert, I'd like to say shout out to anybody that knows Larry, great drummer. That song right here, Jerry Knight walked in there and he sang his part less than 15 minutes. One time down, done. So I learned, I had a chance to really learn on Jack, and I had a chance to really come from Detroit and really learn how to work with the pros on this song you're going to hear, which by far is like it went up the chart, like Billboard chart, like number 4. So let's listen to and have fun listening to Jack and Jill.
Yes, right here, Interviews with the Stars with today's very special guest, Mr. Arnell Carmichael, and your girl, Ms. Diamond Hot Topic.
Thank you.
Yes, and we are back. We are back. So I definitely want to say I love that one.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank Ray Parker, too. I had fun doing that.
So tell me exactly what influences you musically, period, because we know you're very multi-talented. We know that you play multiple instruments. So, you know, what influences your material?
If you can say it one more time, because the diction, I couldn't understand it.
So I want to know, what influences your material? We know that you're very multi-talented.
Oh, okay.
You play multiple instruments. So I want to know, you know, what influences you?
It's, you know, that's an interesting question because, first of all, when I first started this to, like, be a singer, what influenced me was just the fact that the melodies and the kindness that I would see in people from when we sang as kids. So every time we would, like, sing, I would think, wow, I really want to do this. And we didn't really know how far we could go. We just knew that we were three young, exciting guys, and so and the influence with the family thing. But what happens with it, the inspiration comes from the everyday occurrences that happens with people. And so we had gotten into kind of like a slump for me to really understand that, you know, okay, now you got to make a living from this. And so I went up against my uncle and was like, nope, I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. I got to go try some other things. And I started learning more about the detail. Not enough, but just enough because I had this great motivation to say, I really, really want to do this. And so I would sing I'd sing for other people before I would sing for my family. Like, I was always, like, the background singer. There's my brother, who sings very well, and my cousin. And when I went into this group called Energy MC Square, it really was an inspiration for me to say, okay, well, I could do this. I was singing like Chaka Khan at the time, you know. And so when I realized that I had this inclination or I had this understanding, I wanted to go find out how far it would take me. And that is the result, you know, of the chasing after and trying to find a way to become a better singer. It's kind of like, you know, the story about when it happens for what's her name, Tina Turner, where she's going through these changes in life and then all of a sudden singing saves her.
Yeah, that's true
for me. Yeah, that's true for me too. When I left Detroit at the time, you know, when you're not popular and nobody knows who you are, you, like, do whatever you need to do to really support your way. And so when I left, the song that was of motivation was "He's on his way, busting it to Hollywood, he's busting it to Hollywood." My mother had sent me to opera lessons. And I told the opera, I told the piano teacher, I was like, wait a minute, you trying to tell me if I continue to be an opera singer, I have to wait 30 years? I was like, oh, hell no. I'm not singing no opera music. Yeah, and I said, I wasn't singing opera music. I wanted to really do R&B. So I just went head up. You know, it's almost like you take no for an answer, but you got to, you know, people thought I was, like, kind of cocky and arrogant. But I had to slow that down because when I met the next set of guys who I knew from Detroit who were surviving in L.A., it then became, well, now you got to, like, chill back. Now you got to do what you're told, sing the songs, get it done. Again, equating the motivation to do Jack and Jill, and the last thing in the chain that people never think about is when you don't know, you just find a way to do it.
Yeah.
The thing that was interesting was this. I actually didn't like Jack and Jill, but the motivation to do it was there. It was there. So I learned a great amount from first learning how to sing and learning what the notes were, getting the timing right, and then I had to learn to shut up. So then being quiet meant that the record company could then put the record out. I had no say-so over it. The record went out. It's a smash. Then I learned how to play guitar. So writing music for myself became the next thing that I would really go after is, you know, can I write and produce myself? One of the lines that a lot of singers don't get, and I'm going to say it because I want them all to hear this. First of all, if you don't play an instrument, you don't know what you're making. you're mimicking lines that you might have sang on another person's record, but when you can produce or arrange yourself in material, then you have a greater opportunity to present yourself to the buying public or the hopeful public who says, well, you know what, I really like what this person is doing. You know, and by learning these tones and what you need to learn to write for yourself, that becomes your next step, unless you're fortunate, which I think Michael Jackson was fortunate like that. I think that Prince was fortunate like that. Stevie Wonder was fortunate like that, where they had the support system. You know, and I'm sure there are other people that I haven't mentioned, but they have the support system that allows them to learn and grow and execute into a business that turns into a process before it gets to success. So that these are all the things that got me this far, and I'm on a turnaround, a resurgence, because I had stopped. I literally stopped for like about 15 years.
Wow. Well, we definitely don't want you to stop for another 5 years. So tell your fans what you're working on right now.
Okay. Just right now, which brung us together, is that I was approached by some people to come back into the music business and do Arnell Carmack on radio. And we're doing a concert in Idaho, Michigan, which the headliner is Michael Henderson, Gene Kern, and the Dramatics. I bring with me Debonair Casanova, and we do like the radio songs, which we would go to Japan back and forth to Ray, but this time this is all Arnell. This is what some of the fans really wanted to hear the first time, especially after Jerry died. Like, no harm to Ray, everybody. I love him to death. But people used to tell me all the time, well, how come you didn't sing more? Well, it wasn't my group. But now, those times are over. Mm-hmm. You know, new times. So I get to sing all of the radio songs from the beginning album up until A Woman Needs Love, and I get to perform because I worked on Ghostbusters. I get to do all these songs myself. Now, while that's going on, I have, for artists, a download music store. I have three companies. One is a kind of like an intellectual properties company where it deals with movies, artists, and actors, and licensing. And then the second company, which that company is Ricochet, Music Multimedia Group. The second company is A-String Music Store, which is online, and we kind of cultivate new music, new artists. You know, I wasn't asked to, you know, give you some of the catalog, but I will in the future, where we take young new artists and we bring them to the forefront. And that's the third thing. Now, here's the last thing. In the time that I went away and was gone, I had learned that I wasn't as proficient as I needed to be in terms of playing. So I just recently, over the last 15 years, learned how to be a jazz guitarist. Because, you know, at the time, Ray was the guitarist in the group. So now I've been doing jazz for like the last 7 years, and I take these same radio songs, and we do like a smooth jazz show where it's the radio songs, it's my songs that I did on my Be Cool album, and we get to perform. I get to perform as a jazz guitarist and a vocalist. I went to see earlier this year Jonathan Butler at a convention, and it just inspired me even more to be able to captivate and hold the audience and to perform, knowing that, you know, when you go into rehearsal or when you deal with maybe six or seven musicians, that you can truly command the respect of those people. That's the greatest goal that you could ever get to. So I am going to work on more, let's say, contemporary R&B along with the smooth jazz, because there are still so many people ranging from 80 to 25 that like R&B, but sometimes you can't trust what you hear. I have many things I'm working on now.
Awesome, awesome. So before we get ready to get out of here, tell your fans how they can contact you and how they can keep up with, you know, every project that you're working on now.
Well, of course, you can go to arnellcarmichael.com. That would be the quickest way. And from there, all of my different projects that I'm working on, my company's Ricochet Music Multimedia Group, the A-String Music Store, and my own personal unique custom shopping. So I got a lot of sponsors, and I need many more, which would be the astringmusicstore.com. You can go there and check all of that out. That would be the fastest way to do it.
Yes, yes. So I want to first of all say thank you so much for being my special guest today on Interviews with the Stars. And before we go ahead and get out of here, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. I really did. I want to tell you that the fans have definitely flooded the website. They have flooded the radio station with requests for your songs and requests for this interview. So I'm glad that we can make them happy.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. I love you all.
Yeah, so before we get out of here, we're going to go ahead and play You Can't Change That by Mr. Arnell Carmichael right here.
That, and
with the Star.
Before you play it, let everybody know, this song is actually the number one song of all the radio songs. I just found this out 2 days ago. That You Can't Change That went up higher in the Billboard chart at number 3. So,
awesome, awesome.
Enjoy
yourself. You can't go away for 5 years. You can't go away for another year. You have to keep going.
All right. I will.
Thank you so much, Mr. Arnell Carmichael, today
you.
On my very special guest on Interviews with the Stars. You Can't Change That right here on FacesOfSuccessRadio.com.
I'll always love you. I promise I'll always love you. Cause I think the whole world of it. And you can't change that. No, no.
You're the one I love. hey, everybody. Welcome back to the second part of my favorite part of the show. And that's the part where I bring you another interview with a star. But you know what? I'm going to sit back and I'm going to relax and I'm going to let Dale be just chill because, ladies, you won't want to miss this interview right here. I want to tell you that he's definitely ready. He's definitely been taking care of you guys in the R&B world. So I can't wait to bring him into the studio and show you exactly what Mr. Dale B got. And also, I want to say shout out to my first special guest, Mr. Arnold Carmichael. It was definitely a pleasure to have him in the studio on today. And don't forget to go out and get that music. Go on iTunes, log on to our website, faceupsuccessradio.com, and we'll have all the appropriate links for you guys to catch that music. And we're going to talk about Ciara for a second, okay? So recently in the news, Ciara, we know she had a baby by rapper by the name of Future, all right? So nothing is wrong with the fact that Ciara now has a child with Future, but she also is in a new relationship. And recently, her new man, Russell Wilson, was drafted, and he has a major, major contract on the floor. I mean, not mad at that. But people are upset because Ciara took a picture and Russell was holding the new baby, and Future took to Twitter with a lot of drama saying, hey, you know, don't be trying to be a father to my child. And it's just a bunch of mess. You know what I call that? Rich, because normal people day to day, it's like, hey, you know, I understand. And I'm going to just tell you from my perspective, if Russell is her new man and that is the man in her life, now I don't agree that every man that you're with is supposed to meet your children, to be around your children. I'm protective of my mama. You can't meet my mama. But every man is not supposed to meet your child. But if this is a serious relationship, then he's going to be around that child. So Future in being the father of that child, so just have to understand. Now, we know that Russell already has children, and the children were around Ciara. But now that the tables have turned, it's a problem. So I want to tell everybody out there who's hating on Ciara at this point, hating on Russell, you know what? It's not your relationship, it's theirs. And apparently they've worked things out to where they want to do what they want to do in their house. So you guys have nothing to do with it. So don't be upset. Future, if you, you know, should have put a ring on it, maybe you would be in that same step, but, you know, things happen. People move on. It is what it is, but, hey, don't be upset about it, but whatever. So I'm going to go ahead and play Ciara, I Betcha, and then when I come back, ladies and gentlemen, I have my very special guest, Mr. Dale B, in the building. So sit back, relax, right here with your girl, Miss Diamond, Hot Topics on Interviews with the Stars. Here we go with Ciara, I Betcha.
Tell the truth,
be honest.
But you can't. No matter how much time I ask, that's your bitch over there.
Your bitch over there.
Giving me the ugly shit.
That's
the one with the silicone ass.
That one right there.
And the Brazilian hair.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna respect me, no, till I'm not there.
I'm gonna.
Oh. See, I got you comfortable now, you ain't really scared. But I bet you start loving me.
Look.
Soon as I start loving someone else, somebody better than you. I bet you start needing me. Soon as you see me with someone else, somebody other than you. Myself and I can find someone to do it too, baby. You acting like you upgraded me, I upgraded you. You and me fashion week in Paris. I put you on to that new. But you took advantage, you used to give advantage, you used to give advantage. I cannot understand, I cannot understand, I cannot understand it. I thought you'd always be there for me, yeah. But if you ask me if I knew better now, hell yeah. You can keep that bitch over there.
Your bitch over there.
Giving me the ugly shit.
That's
the one with the silicone ass.
That one right there.
And the Brazilian hair.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna respect me, no, soon I ain't there.
I'm gonna. Oh.
See, I got you comfortable, now you ain't really scared. But I bet you start loving me.
I bet.
You never start loving someone else. Somebody better than you. I bet you start needing me. Soon as you see me with someone else. Somebody other than you.
Definitely got her point across. But, hey, hats off to Sierra and Russell in future. You know, they'll be fine. But I want to bring my special guest into the studio. I'm excited about this interview. Why? Because so many ladies, okay, the ladies, I just want to say, you ladies always know when there's something hot on the floor. You let us know, or you make it very vocal when we have someone prominent coming to the studio. And you are always excited. So I just want to hurry up and bring my very special guest, Mr. Del B, into the studio. Welcome.
Appreciate that. Definitely appreciate that. Appreciate you having me, you know?
Yes. No problem. When I say the fans, I mean, I can't say it enough. We always get the website flooded. We get emails. We get calls. We get inbox messages
right.
on our Facebook. You know, once we announce who's coming to the studio, it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, and the ladies, first of all, want to know, what influences your music? I mean, you have a sexy, I'm being honest, this is what I get, a sexy, soulful blend, you know, a little bit of hip-hop influence, but, man, you know, where does that sound come from?
You know, when I write, I try to use, you know, experiences from my own life, really, and experiences from others around me. So, you know, people usually can identify with those type of situations the best. And so when you're bringing that to R&B music, it's always best to bring something that people can sing along with and agree with and, you know, be able to feel. So I usually try to put a lot of myself into the records, honestly.
Yes, yes. So we know that you dedicated several years to the group. What was it like being in a group, an R&B group, versus now, you know, doing your own thing, your solo project?
Well, I mean, it was cool. You know what I'm saying? The one thing about groups is, you know, everybody has to be on the same page. You can't let egos get involved. And the guys that I was in the group with, they were actually really true friends. It wasn't just a group put together. We decided to put it together ourselves. So it was a good vibe early on, definitely. You know, we had some differences creatively throughout the process, but we still cool to this day, you know what I'm saying? And they definitely still support what I'm doing, but I'm loving the solo venture, because I have so much freedom to do so much with the records. And, you know, it's just, I feel like I'm in my own lane. So I'm just, you know, I'm steering in it. I'm just doing me.
Yes, yes, that is awesome. So, you know, with being in a group setting, how is the industry different for artists who are on a solo mission?
Well, the number one thing for a group, you know, it is a business, and we love what we do, but, you know, we want to get paid for what we do. So, of course, when you're in a group, the pay is going to be different, because you're splitting it several ways. However, you know, many people in the group, that's number one. But secondly, you know, you always have a lot of influences from outside. You know, you have your team of friends that's on your side, and the other group members might have friends or family members that get in their ear and whisper to them, hey, maybe you should be leading a song, or maybe you should be writing a song. So that always can disrupt stuff. If you're in a group, you got to be, you know, really into each other, really vibing, really being able to communicate with each other, you know, it helps.
Yeah, so, you know, what are some of the moments that you have that you can tell your fans that you're most proud of right now?
Moments that I have that I'm most proud of? Well, I'm a writer. You know, before I wrote music, I used to write poetry and just write stories, like, you know, for school and stuff. So, I, you know, some of the moments that I'm most proud of are my moments alone, when it's just me, the music, pen and pad, and I can just get to it. You know what I'm saying? I love writing and creating music and different things like that artistically that people are going to be able to vibe to. So those are some of the moments that I love and enjoy right now, just those private times, you know?
Awesome, awesome. So, you know, who has been some of the biggest influences on your life, and, you know, what have they taught you about music?
Well, musically, I come from a very musically inclined background. Both of my grandmothers sang heavy gospel, played instruments. My father sang, brothers. My aunt, she's a preacher now, but she used to sing and do her thing back in the day. So my family really influenced me. It was kind of destined to happen, you know what I mean? Because a lot of us play instruments, a lot of us sing, a lot of us write. So that's where I got a lot of my motivation from to get into the music game, you know?
So we know that you have musical inspiration such as R. Kelly and Michael Jackson, of course, and even H-Town and Boyz II Men. But, you know, tell us, you know, what's playing in your car right now? What's in your iPhone? What are you listening to? Like, what are some of the albums that's getting, you know, rotation from you right now?
Well, I keep it old school sometimes. But really, who's out right now R&B wise that I'm feeling is The Dream. You know, he doesn't have any big hit singles out right now, but I'm a big fan of his. So I, you know, I like to listen to his stuff, and but also, of course, I got some of that Kells in there, R. Kelly, definitely. You know, I do listen to the hip hop side of things too. I like the Southern. You know, I'm a Southern guy myself, so I like that old school Outkast, some things like that. You know, up to date stuff. I bump that Chris Brown. You know, he does his thing, and I'm a fan of his as well, and I respect what he's doing. So in the pad right now is in the display right now is actually some of my music. Is some beats that I've been writing to, vibing to, creating honestly. But once I take that out, I'll probably slide that dream back in there.
Okay. And I want to definitely say that, you know, Dream is right now, to me, in my own personal opinion, that Dream is underrated. You know, people are sleeping
on
Dream.
yeah, definitely. I've had that conversation with a lot of people too, and a lot of people feel that he's a better writer than he is a singer. But I feel he's underrated too, and of course he's written a lot of our biggest hits for Beyonce, Rihanna, and other artists as well. But you know, I respect him as a singer as well. I mean, he can do it.
Yes. Well, you know how, you know, writing right now is the big topic of the world.
Right.
You know,
it is.
In our community, it's either racism right now or writing. You know, who's a writer?
Right.
So, you know, as a writer, he's definitely, you know, been writing for some people that and he's not getting the recognition, you know?
No. You know, and I think he doesn't necessarily want the recognition. I think he does that by choice. He's kind of a behind-the-scenes guy. You know, he has a mystique about him, and I think he likes to keep it like that, honestly, just looking at his movements. Because I'm definitely a studier of the game, and I watch how some of my favorite artists out right now move. And a lot of them, you know, some of them like that recognition. Some of them just sit back and make their money and make their hits at the same time, you know, and I respect that.
Yes. So, you know, tell your fans, you know, who are you working with right now?
Well, right now, I have a writing team. The company is called Good Biz, and it's me and my business partner, Goodness Gracious. That's a Southern slang thing, Goodness Gracious. But that's his name. He's an artist as well. And we write. We have a whole bunch of music. Like, we have a catalog for some female artists as well as child acts, and we're just writing. We also we got this thing going on with this artist out of London. I can't say her name right now, but she's kind of blowing up over there. She's well known, and hopefully when the ink dries, we'll be, you know, writing some stuff for her new project. I don't want to speak her name just yet, because I don't know if that's going to go through. And then locally throughout Florida, I'm vibing and collabing with a lot of artists and rappers. So we're just working. We're trying to apply that pressure, definitely.
And nothing wrong with that. Definitely nothing wrong with that. So, you know, if you could work with anyone right now, you know, you got the call today that you'll be working with, who would that person be?
You know what? If I had the call today and life is so short, I would like to work with R. Kelly. And reason being, I just think he's so multi-talented as far as writing and producing and arranging that he, you know, we're guaranteed to get in there and create some magic. Because, I got a lot of choices that I could choose, but I want to get in there with somebody that I know we could come out with a hit, like, immediately. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, what exactly encourages your music? Like, do you just write in a specific mood, or do you have to be in a specific setting when you're writing?
Not at all. You know what I mean? I don't really have to be in a specific setting. I thrive on that. I like to challenge myself when I get a beat and I feel it, whether I'm in the car, at the house, over at my business partner's house, wherever. You know, I try to jump on it right there. If I'm loving the beat and the beat is talking to me and my soul, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I can come up with a hit. Just give me a pen and a pad and we can do it. So I know a lot of people need that vibe to be in a certain mood. And, you know, I'm not saying that doesn't help, because I have been in good moods before that enhance my writing, but, you know, really I can be in the car. That's where I write the most, driving along, and I'm just vibing to the music.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. I hear, you know, hear different people say that, you know, I was at a party and then I just dipped off to the bathroom because I saw a woman or a man across the room and, you know, I had an epiphany and so I wrote that song, you know, or I have to be at home in my library, you know, or my secret zone, you know, and for you it's your vehicle.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for real. You know, because you see people riding along in their vehicles getting lost in the music anyway, just singing along. You catch them at the stoplight. Well, that's me, you know, but it might be to my own music, just creating. So I love that time. Nobody's in there with me, and I'm just vibing.
That's awesome. I'm not going to lie. I definitely love to just get in my truck and ride around just so I can listen to music. I mean, you can sit in the house and listen to music, but I like to just ride around. It's just, I don't know, it's my therapy.
Right. Yeah, it's relaxing. It is relaxing.
Yes, yes. So if it wasn't for music, you know, how else would your life have taken a turn? You know, what else would you be doing if you didn't have an opportunity to step into the music game?
Well, honestly, you know, I'm a graduate from Florida A&M University in Tallahassee, and I graduated in elementary education. So most likely, I'd be teaching somebody's children. You know what I mean? You know, there's not many black men that step out on that limb and want to teach the little ones. But that's what I did, and that's what I have a degree in. And you know, I still have a love for that. So hey, if this music thing don't work out, which it is going to work out, but let's just say if it didn't, I'll be back in that classroom.
That's awesome. Who's to say that you can't be a music teacher as well, though, you know?
Right, right, true.
You get
true indeed.
The best of both worlds.
Right, right.
Yeah, so, you know, let me ask you this. So before you became, you know, Mr. Del B,
right.
You know, do you remember any of the songs you used to sing before becoming a quote-unquote celebrity? You know, some of the songs you probably used to perform to yourself at home.
Yeah. Well, first thing, you know, I grew up in the church, so I used to be singing a lot of gospel. But when I found out that there was other music that, you know, touched my spirit, I used to think I was going to be the next Michael Jackson back in the day. But didn't we all, though? You know what I'm saying? So.
Hello.
Billie Jean, I used to perform that all the time in the talent shows. I was a big Bobby Brown fan, so My Prerogative, Don't Be Cruel, Tender On It. You know, I really liked those songs once I heard them, you know. And I had an older brother that used to play those things for me. So I don't know, any of that 90s R&B, I was really on that big, definitely.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I can see you in the mirror doing Candy Girl. You know.
For real. Getting it.
Just, you know, yeah, right. That's awesome. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give your fans an opportunity to hear your new single, You. So tell me a little bit about the track before I play it.
Okay, You. It was written, you know, almost about a year ago. With me and my partner, Goodness Gracious, just vibing to some beats by my homeboy, Double D. Double D produced it. He's a guy named Kendrick Harmon, real talented artist as well. But he produced it, and we had just a string of beats. We were going through them, vibing, and that one stuck out. And we just decided to have fun with the record and really make a song about relationships, but an intimate relationship. And we just, you know, what came out was the fun classic that we have now, you know what I mean? So it was just that, you know, basically we wanted to have fun with a kind of intimate sexual record. So that's what that's about.
Okay, ladies,
yeah.
You've asked for it, and he is here in the studio live. So give us a call if you guys want to talk to Mr. Del B in the studio. And that's 323-642-1569. And we're going to jump into You right here on Interviews with the Stars with today's special guest, Mr. Del B.
If I were you, I'd only pay attention.
I'm back with today's special guest, Mr. Dale B. in the studio, and that was his single, You. Welcome back.
Right. No doubt. I hope y'all enjoyed it. You know what I'm saying? Y'all going to be hearing it a lot more.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to get work done when I'm listening to good music. I can tell you that now. It's like,
right.
I'm always trying to do some work, and then I hear something, it's like, let me stop what I'm doing for a minute. Let me, you know.
For real, you got to check that breaking vibe to it. You know, let it use you real quick.
Yes. So, you know, tell us about some of the projects that you have coming up.
Well, I have a whole catalog of music. I'm working real heavy with my team. I'm the franchise artist for Alcon Entertainment. And, Mr. Copeland over there, he's pushing me, and, you know, we're making some things happen. So I have at least 2 to 3 albums worth of music, honestly. So we're just kind of waiting. You know, it's a real single-driven game right now. So I have some stuff in the arsenal. We're pushing this U record real heavy, and we're going to see what happens. And that's going to kind of determine where we go from there.
That is awesome. That's awesome. So, like I said, the ladies have been flooding the phone lines and our Facebook pages and the website. So I'm going to bring a caller in the studio. So let's pick up that caller.
Let's do it.
Hi, caller. You're online with Mr. Dale B. and Ms. Diamond. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am
doing
awesome.
Well. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm doing well.
So do you have a question for Mr. B?
Well, actually, I just have a comment. DLB, I really enjoy your music. I really enjoy that song, You, because you reference
that.
even people at my age. I am 50 years old, and I still love your music because it doesn't have an age limit on it. It's very sexy.
No doubt.
And even 50, we can be sexy, too. I'm very happily married, and me and my husband want me to be sexy still.
No doubt. I'm glad to hear that because I really like to make a lot of music for couples. You know, I feel like we're missing that, something that you can just put on while you're riding with your man or your lady and just vibe. Or, you know, it might get the party started at the house. You know, you never know. I like making music for the couple.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, and you do it very well, and I just appreciate that.
I really appreciate you calling in and letting me know that that's inspiration to keep doing my thing. So I appreciate you, love. Definitely.
You're welcome. Just keep doing what you do.
Will do.
Yeah,
Will
so
do.
So, caller, where are you calling from, and what's your name?
I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan, and my name is Mary. And Ms. Diamond, I just want to say I love your show. You bring all the stars on, and we're able to actually talk to them. And I like that. I really like
Thank
it,
you.
And I like your music. I like the music you play.
Thank you so much for calling, and thank you so much for supporting. I definitely appreciate that.
All right.
Yes, yes. So we love to hear from the fans. I'm telling you, Dale,
okay.
They've been calling. They're ready. You know, they they flood the inbox, and I'm sure you get the request as well. So, you know, definitely shout out to the fans, because if it wasn't for them, it wouldn't be no you, it wouldn't be no me.
You never lied about that. I love my fans, and, you know, I love to hear from them. They really do help me with the writing and, you know, my next moves in this game, so I appreciate that.
So how does it feel, you know, hearing from the fans and being out and just being referred to as a celebrity and being referred to as, you know, sexy and soulful, you know, and even being compared to people like R. Kelly? You know, what does that really feel like for you?
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you set out, you know, you strategize and you set out a plan to, you know, get this music to the people. And then their response is genuinely organic. So when you hear that love, when you get that love, I mean, it just encourages you. It just inspires you as an artist to keep making your art, to keep grinding, going hard. So I love it. You know what I'm saying? I embrace all of it, and I take it in. You know what I'm saying? And I take it with me when I'm creating, definitely.
Yeah, so, you know, tell some of your fans, what are some of the lessons that the music industry has taught you?
You know, honestly, it definitely can be a grimy industry. I've learned that up front. One good thing is to always take positivity with you in all situations, no matter what, and to try to surround yourself with some people within the industry that are positive people, creative people, and that are trying to take you and your art to the next level. Somebody that you can help, that can help you as well, you know. Definitely, those are some of the key things that I've learned, because, you know, I've done some business with people who, you know, try to promise things or said this and that and, you know, couldn't come through on what they said. So, you definitely just got to watch your step. It's snakes in everything that you do. Whether you're teaching or making music, you know, you just got to be careful with the people you surround yourself with.
I know that's right. You got to be honest, too. You know, people don't understand that.
Yeah, you do. Yes. You do. You have to be honest with yourself, number one.
Yeah. You know what I get a lot of times, you know, and I don't ever step on anybody's grind, or I ever, you know, hate on whatever the next person is doing. But some people aren't honest with themselves, and they just say, you know, listen to my music. I got this fire for you, you know.
Right,
and
right.
And they pull out a CD out of their pocket. They're just not prepared, you know, and then they write on it with a Sharpie, track one. You know, track one, I'm going to write my number down. Wait, let me look up my number. It's like, people, be prepared and be honest with yourself. You know, how does somebody, you know, take you serious?
Yeah,
when you're not branding yourself in the right way.
Right, and, you know, I respect everybody's grind, because, you know, some of our independent artists, that's all they can afford to do, and they feel like the music should stand out enough, you know, their presentation isn't the best, but they're like, hey, if I can just get this in your CD player, then you'll feel where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, it's just like a fine restaurant. You know, Burger King is going to present it different from, you know, a five-star restaurant, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times that first impression can run people off when it's just written with a pen. Nobody takes it seriously, but... You know, I guess I respect both ways, because I've been there. I've been there back in the day with that pen at the gas station trying to get
that
people
shopping.
To listen to the music. Yeah, but I did have to learn, hey, you know, the way you present your music says a lot about you, says a lot about your craft, and, you know, it just says a lot about how you're presenting yourself as a whole. So got to step your game up, honestly, in this industry these days.
Yes. So from coming from that point in your career to now, you know, tell us about some of the highlights of your career.
Well, you know, I've opened for various artists. You know, I'm originally from Tallahassee, Florida, but I traveled throughout the state and in Georgia, and I performed a lot of places, you know, a couple different states.
Yeah.
And I got a chance to open up for Janelle Monae in Tallahassee, as well as The Dream when he came to a club there. And, you know, some other artists around Urban Mystic, even BG, old BG from Cash Money back in the day. So, I've had some chances to open up for some major acts, as well as, you know, I had a few deals on the table, record deals, but they weren't what I wanted at that time. So, you know, I've had some ups and downs, and right now we're on the high because we're getting some play over internationally on the single. Germany and France, they're checking in, letting us know they're feeling the record, and we're just vibing. So, you know, it's definitely on an upswing at this time.
Yes, yes. So with, you know, opening up for The Dream and being able to work with him, you know, is he
right.
one of your greatest influences?
Right now, I would say yes. And it's not just because of his music. It's how he's navigating through the game. That's what I really respect.
Yes.
He's being able
okay.
to write not only R&B records, but, you know, he was a big contributor in that Baby record by Justin Bieber, so he's doing pop records as well as records for males and females, you know, and it doesn't matter what genre. I appreciate that about him and Kels, because that's what I want to be able to do. A lot of the stuff that me and my writing team create are, you know, pop songs. They may be country songs. We just, I don't want any type of ceiling. I want to be able to do it all. So that's one of the main reasons I respect him. He's getting his dope, and he has his hands in a lot of different things in the industry.
Yes, yes. So, you know, tell me, what was, like, you know, the shock value of when you first heard your song played on the radio?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's almost like if you have a child, hearing your child speak for the first time, you know what I mean? It's amazing because, you know, you put your time in creating something. You birth it, you make it. The whole process of getting the beat, writing to it, going to the studio, getting it how you want it to be, arranging the vocals, you know, all of that, getting it mixed, mastered, then hearing it on the radio. I mean, you just have to sit back in awe and know that a lot of other people are hearing the record and, you know, they have their opinions about it, and you just hope that people are feeling it and loving it as much as you do. So it's an awesome feeling.
Wow. So, you know, being influenced by the R&B industry, even though you started, you know, singing in church and, you know, singing in gospel, could you ever see yourself
right.
as a gospel artist?
You know, I mean, yes. You know, I came from gospel, and my group, honestly, the group Innate that we spoke about before, we were throughout Tallahassee singing at all the churches before we broke away and started just doing R&B. The only thing about gospel is I like to sing all types of music, you know what I mean? The gospels are great. I like to sing those too, but I just don't want to be limited. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, because, you know, I have some gospel tunes on deck right now for some local artists that we're collabing with. So, I don't want to limit myself, definitely.
Okay, okay. And nothing wrong with that. And one thing that I can say about gospel music is once you start, there's no crossing back over. There's no coming
exactly.
back and forth. No
you know, it's right, and that's a problem. So right now, I didn't straddle the fence and stepped all the way across to the other side, so I don't know if I could go back.
Right, right. And you know what? Let me just say, you know, my own personal opinion, because that's the only perspective I can speak from.
Right.
You know, everybody can't sing gospel and then go and sing a secular song. It's like one of the only genres of music where it's not really accepted for you to bounce back and forth.
Yeah, because,
you know,
once you get labeled with that gospel voice, I mean, nobody wants to hear you sing R&B. I mean, we want to hear you sing gospel. That's what you do, you know. So
I'm going to give you a good one. You know, we have R. Kelly, you know, one of your favorites. And, you know, of course, he sings, you know, secular music or R&B, and then he'll come out with a gospel album, and everybody will be confused. Like, I don't know if I can really get the spirit of the Lord from that.
because we're still thinking
right,
about.
Right, it's a lot of judgment going on, definitely. It's, you know, I used to laugh about the fact that when I Believe I Can Fly came out, it was multiple churches using that. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is off of R. Kelly album. This is the same guy, but, you know, that song was so, it just crossed the board. It was so dynamic and so powerful in the message in it. Because, you know, music is so powerful. If you put the message in there, you know, it's a good chance people just overlook, you know, their judgment. So,
wow, yeah, that is funny. And we live in a really judgmental world right now. So definitely, that's how people act, and it is what it is. So social media is huge. You know, tell your fans how they can contact you or follow you on social media.
Okay, well, the number one thing, alkonent.com. That's my team that I'm working with. That's alkonent.com. That's the website. You can go and check my music out as well as see the videos and just preview everything and get in contact with my management on there. Also, of course, I'm on Twitter at Dell Business. That's D-E-L-L, like the computer, and then B-I-Z-N-E-S-S. Then I'm on Instagram. At Delby_Sings, that's SINGZ. Then you can hit me up on Facebook, just type in Delby or Dell Business, and I'll come up. And also, you know, I want to let everybody know the music is available on iTunes, Amazon.com, Spotify, any of those sites. You can go on there and, you know, support me, get that music, and, you know, because the tune is blazing the charts now, the U record, and we're trying to just push it, definitely.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. So on social media, because I have to ask.
Right.
So are you very interactive with your fans on social media?
You know what? When I have the time to interact, I do that because I like interacting with the fans. They really let you know how they're feeling. You know what I'm saying? And I love the realness. So, yeah, I definitely try to interact as much as my schedule will allow, you know.
Will allow you. Okay. So how many hours do you actually spend in the studio or writing music?
Well, I try to spend, in the course of a week, I really don't know because, you know, when I wake up, I work out, I get my head together, and I try to do as much with music as possible. Of course, you know, that includes writing, vibing. You know, I might have some meetings or some phone calls I have to make. You know, they call me Dell Business because that's what I handle. So I just really, I don't know. I need to see how many hours I spend because my family tells me that they don't see me enough, honestly. So I think it's a lot, you know what I mean? But right now I'm out here trying to get it, so you got to make those sacrifices.
And nothing wrong with that. So, you know, do you have any advice for, you know, anybody who's trying to break into the industry right now, business-wise? What kind of advice could you give them on how to really break into the music industry or how to really be successful, you know?
Well, first thing is to study your craft. Whether it's hip-hop, R&B, pop, whatever you're doing, study right now because the game is changing so much. Yeah, everybody's digital. Everybody's online selling their music or their singles. And, you know, it's always changing. So I would say study your craft. Secondly, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else is going to believe in you or your projects that you're putting out. That goes back to writing with the pen on the CD and handing it out. I mean, you know, invest in yourself. You know, if it takes a while, and then thirdly, there's no time limit on your success. There's no time limit. Don't let anybody rush you and tell you need to drop now. You need to do this now. You don't need to do anything else but believe in yourself and know that when it's your season, it's your season.
When I tell you that is the best information, that is the best advice ever.
No doubt.
I'm with you on that, and you know, I want to continue to play your music, and I want to continue to support you. So of course, we're gonna have all of your links on our website, which is FacebookSuccessRadio.com, for your fans, and you know, just,
right.
We definitely ready, and we want to see what more you have.
Yeah, because, and I'm glad to say that, because I got so much in store for the fans, for the world. You know, I'm just getting started, really. And I have so much more. We have so much in store. Shout out to Alcon EMT and Mr. Copeland. Shout out to Don Jr., CEO, and the whole entertainment worldwide network. You know, we're out here getting it. We got so much more in store, and I know you all are going to love it, so. I'm excited about that, and I definitely appreciate you, Ms. Diamond, having me on the show and giving me a chance to talk to the people and my fans. It's definitely a plus, you know?
Yes, yes. So now, ladies, not, you know, it hasn't been any men, but now, ladies, you can flood his inbox. You can flood
right,
his fan
right.
page and his website, and you can also purchase the song. That is where it's most important at, you know.
It
Show
is.
Dale that you love him by purchasing the song You. It'll be featured on our website
right.
as well, and of course it's in heavy rotation now. So, you know,
no doubt.
We love it.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, and
so,
just to let the fans know, I'll be doing some shows in y'all area soon, believe that.
So when you come out to California, don't forget about us. We definitely love to have
fun.
You.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, I'm going to definitely stop by and holler at y'all, no doubt.
Yes. So, you know, before we go ahead and get out of here, is there anybody you want to say hello for? Anybody you want to say what's up to?
I want to say shout out to Capital Circle Music, my company. Shout out to the Cool Camp, my team. Boy, goodness gracious, Double D. We out here. They playing us and they feeling us. Shout out to Leon County, Tallahassee, my home, and shout out to Florida, man. We trying to take this worldwide, though. And again, shout out to Alcon EMT, the EWWN Network, Don Jr., CEO. You know, we doing it. Dale D, 2015 and beyond, baby. Let's do this.
Yes, yes. So today's very special guest is none other than Mr. Del B right here on Interviews with the Stars. I am your host, Ms. Sure. Diamond Hot Topics. And we're going to go ahead. You know what? I like that song so much. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play it again, you know.
Pull up, man.
Yes, yes. So this is Del B with you right here on Interviews with the Stars. Take it up, take it down, and I flip it. Step 20.